shapes appearing into the smoky air. Passing through a scorched gate, I enter the campground. My fist tightens on the wheel as the glow of lights drill through the grey abyss. Ominous dots, one beside the other. The row of bright headlights alerts me to the barricade of bikes ahead. The dense fog hazes my vision of much more. Flanking them will be Bronson, Carter, and three soldiers on foot, navigating their way through this terrain. Damn it. They won't be able to see a fucking thing. Won't see my signal. And I can't get an aim on anyone. My heart thrashes hard under this premise. I won't lose them. I can't. Unable to measure the distance between my car and the awaiting lights, I pull over, fisting the wheel on a final thought of her, of the sweetness she gave me, the hints of what life and love could be. I inhale hard and exit the vehicle, feigning a smooth, unaffected manner. Still suffering it all the way in my veins. Rounding the bonnet, I open my arms wide, welcoming, calling out, "Now you have me! Let's talk about why we are really here!" Honing my ears, I try to decipher movement, chatter, orders, anything. But the silence hangs with the thick smoke around me. Their engines are killed. Interesting. They are not in any hurry to get away. Not wary. "Are you tired of hearing the name Butcher? Tired of seeing the name Butcher all over the news? Tired of having men refuse your business because of us? Of hiding from your own city? Where is my daughter?" I jolt to the north as his voice punches through the smoke from my left-hand side. The dark silhouette of a man appears through the smolder, followed by the hazy outline of several in his shadow. Dustin. And I know this is an execution. The tightness of my bulletproof vest below my suit reminds me they'll need to aim true. I press my hand to my collarbone. Hold the scar that mars it and recall what he had me do when I was 18. What I did for him. For Jimmy. "You don't want your daughter. You want me. I have promised her to one of these men behind me, you see. And he'll be rather unimpressed if she's not here. Don't lie." I face them straight on. "You don't want your daughter. You want me. You can have me. Let my brother go. I'm bored of this, of the theatrics. I'm the one you want. My dad fucked your wife, and she grew his heir in her stomach. You raised the boy as your own," I say, stepping to the side, trying to see through the smoke. I try to force an emotive response from him. A passionate man is a vulnerable man. I know this most of all today as it's boiling inside me. "Did it hurt when you found out he wasn't yours? Then I fucked your daughter. Butchers are infesting your life. Your city, right? I'm the head of this family. It's me you want. Why aren't you just shooting me? I'm the one you need to make this all stop." I know the answer, of course. He wants us all. All of Luca's sons dead, our bodies forever ash in the national park. "Clay Butcher, the Don of the District," he mocks, and the sound burns fierce hatred through my butcher head. I realize he's the impartial man. I'm the one on the cusp of volatility today. "Still a self-centered son of a bastard. You give yourself too much credit again. You can fuck my daughter as much as you want, Clay. Please, she's on the outs." I hiss through my teeth. "You see, there was a time when I would have handed you the cigar afterwards. We almost had an understanding between our families. I knew that I needed to marry my girls off to one of your brothers, or my part in this empire would be overthrown as soon as you took over. You married Jimmy's daughter, And well, your brother Bronson is damn out of his mind. It had to be Max. And then the Slater girl got involved, and she got in the way of that. And she brought the Slater boy into the light to remind me of what your father did, to show him off. And now, he walks towards me until I can see the shadowed edges of his face, the sharp lines cutting across his cheeks and jaw. I haven't seen this face in years. I once said that Fawn bared no resemblance to him, but I lock my jaw. Now all I see is that his eyes mirror the same shape as Fawn's. I want to remove them. He doesn't deserve her likeness. "I'm no fool," he says, his tone circled in hatred. "It doesn't matter that my daughter takes your cock each night. You won't be making me a boss under your leadership." "While I'm still alive," I implore, wanting to reach the 15 or so meters between us and pull his tongue out through a slice I make in his throat. "It'll end with me." "No, it won't." He deadpans, and I hear feet shuffling, the rolling of rocks below uneven steps. My smooth outward armor slips right off when I see Xander hauled towards me by a leather-clad biker. I recognize the thug as the sergeant-at-arms, Crow, or Colin Moroney for when he's a civilian, filing his papers at the city building. I know them all. "Clay!" Xander searches the area around me, blood rushing from his face as he takes in the scene. Me, alone. No sign of an ambush. "Clay!" Dustin grins and raises his gun, and when he presses the nose to Xander's temple, a desperate sound rumbles from my throat. A second. That is all it will take. A second, and my baby brother will have his brain misting the thick, pungent smoke. "My daughter," Dustin insists, and I stare at my brother, blue-eyed and bruised. A stab of affection, of protectiveness so intense, slides into my chest. I realize I choose Fawn over him. I can't not choose my little dear. We lock eyes. "He always was the invisible butcher, wasn't he? The forgettable one." "No, he's the right one. The perfect one. The good one. I'll die in this park for him, with the hope he'll live and one day understands why I chose her. Hope he accepts with sad melancholy that it does not lessen my absolute loyalty to him and my family." "Here!" My body stiffens. Max's voice seeps into my blood, setting it to boil, my muscles pulsing to claim what he took from me. "Her!" With my fingers curled to the point of searing pain, I turn slowly in the direction his voice comes from. Squinting through the thick gray haze, I watch Max appear like a ghost, shielding my little deer with his body. They came on foot. They came on foot.
"Hello,"
Fawn says softly, speaking to her father for the first time in her life. My muscles convulse with need. I need to wrap my arms around her, protect her from the smoke, the heat, him, everything. She must be so overwhelmed, confused. I need to get to her, but then she steps forward, provoking words to claw through my clenched teeth, through my warring resolve. "Step back, Fawn!" She gasps at the sound of my voice, squinting through the dense atmosphere, stilling her gaze on me as smoke parts between us. Her mouth moves as she breathes my name.
"Clay!"
The haze brings the word to me. "Not sir. Not today." Dustin laughs, and I know I've lost the war of wills. Shown him everything I should have meticulously guarded. I revealed my affections, my moves. Lost. I fucking lost. Unable to wait, Unable to signal Bronson and the others, I edged towards him through the smoke as Fauna's captured his attention. Still with his gun to Xander's temple, he says, "Let me get a good look at you." Eyeing her, he takes in her appearance, skin pinkened and slick from the heat. He regards her like a prize colt he might purchase and race, wear to the ground, and then put a bullet in once it has served its purpose. "Well, aren't you lovely?" he finally says, and I hear my growl rumble between my ears. "I understand why Clay Butcher finally thawed. Don't you want to give your daddy a kiss hello? It's polite, after all." He waits, but she tilts her head, looking at him as though she is trying to recognize herself in him. When she doesn't respond, he says, "No? Well, we can work on that." I steal my creeping forward when he looks back at me. He frowns, his stare shooting to the trees behind me. "Order Bronson and the others to move where I can see them. He wouldn't have missed this. I know he's in there. I can feel him. I can always feel a butcher." Fawn takes another hesitant step toward her father. My little dear, seemingly unafraid, intrigued instead.
"I wanted to meet you,"
she almost whispers, and my heart aches from hearing her sweet, honest cadence. He never deserved her.
"I came all the way here to find you, but I found Clay instead. Do you actually want to trade Xander for me? Do you want to know me at all?"
Xander suddenly drops his head back into Crow's face, provoking a grunt from him. Quickly, he twists to grip his shirt, whirls around using the thick, dazed biker as a shield, and ducks behind it just as Dustin's gun goes off. A bullet meant for Xander appears like a red portal in the center of the sergeant of arms' cheek. Chaos breaks loose. Rounds suddenly echo through the hot, coasting fog. The thick smoke lights up with small flares from the firing weapons ahead. Dustin growls, turning his gun towards us, firing through the haze, shooting at everything, anything, anyone. Only 10 or so meters away, Max shields Fawn. Suddenly, his arm jolts backwards as he takes a bullet for her. It must have hit his bone, or it would have broken through his flesh and landed in her face. He grunts and cups his shoulder as blood spills through the webbing between his fingers. "Fuck! Max!" I roar, rushing to them. Reaching for my little dear, I grip her close, drop with her to the ashy debris, and cover her body while unseen bullets soar around us. "Max, talk to me!" I call out, unable to see him while I guard her beneath me. Fawn whimpers within my hold. The sound of ammunition hitting the dirt around us forces high-pitched yelps of terror from her. She covers her ears. I lift my head to assess Max's condition, but he's crawling along the dirt towards Xander, moving with strength, unaffected by the wound. That's my brother. Xander meets him on the ground, and for a second they embrace, and I smile with relief. Then I hear Bronson's laughter ring from somewhere inside the circling black mist, a manic sound that follows a gurgling howl, then a roar of hysterics. 7 little bikers all in a row! 7 little bikers in a row!" he sings, and I catch a blur of his silhouette and another's dashing around behind the headlights across from me. "Take one down, what do you have?" A man groans. 6 little bikers, all in a row!" Max is on his feet now, charging straight towards an oncoming bike. He throws himself at the rider, slamming the body to the dusty ground. Soot and debris rise around them. The two wrestling figures are swallowed by smoke. The smacks of skin to skin follow them. Assessing the immediate area, the unknown location of Dustin unnerving me, I pull Fawn with me as I crawl over the ashy dirt on my elbows towards the Chrysler. I hide her behind the tire, cup her cheeks soaked in tears and soot, and kiss her lips. Feeling too much. Damn her. I love her too much. Then I rip open my suit shirt, tug the bulletproof vest from my body, and fasten it around her. She clutches at my shirt.
I'm sorry. I'm so, so sorry.
I punch kisses over her face. Anger towards her surfaces. Now she is safe. Now she is in my arms. My hands twitch. Don't ever do that again, little dear. Don't ever defy me. Betray me again. My choice of words throws her. Betray. Her breath catching on it.
I'm so sorry. I couldn't let you choose me.
Damn it! I will always choose you! Her small fists shake, still curled around the fabric of my chest.
Maybe I can talk to him.
She wheezes, and the word betrayal takes on new meanings as her concern shines in tears. No, she's just desperate, confused. She knows this has to happen.
Yes, yes, maybe he will stop this. I can convince him I'm worth knowing and that we are in love and...
Fuck. You're worth knowing, sweet girl. He's not. But I don't have time to coddle her as the war continues around us. Shaking my head, I say, he shot at you, sweet girl. He shot at you. Her lips wobble and I curse, ever fueled by the need to make him pay. God damn it. I don't have time for more sentiment, so I drag myself from the suite, little hands desperate to keep me close.
No!
She cries as I head back into the open, and it dawns on me that it may not be my safety or her own that causes her to suffer through that cry. Perhaps it is for her father, that the reality of him, his existence, and the slight similarity in the shape of his eyes may have altered the idea of him for her. He's real now. Fucker. Drawing my Glock, I find purchase behind a blackened trunk before moving to another. I hear Bronson sing again. Take one down! What do you have? Another groan echoes. Five! Little bikers all in a row! Upon me, a biker appears through the grey clouds and throws a fist into my face. I hiss on contact, dropping my gun. I curse. He gets in close, so I pull him in further by his cut and slam my forehead into his nose. The biker thug stumbles backwards, and I use the reprieve to claim my knife from my belt and slice him from ear to ear. The sound of gurgling vibrates through the slit. Then I hear Fawn screech, and ice slides through my veins. I dash to her place beside the tire. My heart thunders in my throat. She's gone. Fawn! I hear her gasp, and my brain fractures. I charge straight towards her frantic sounds as the thought of losing her tears my stone heart in two. I'll die for her. I'll take every bullet, all the pain, the beatings, and it'll be my greatest pleasure to suffer them for her, to die devoting my life to her. So if there is a fucking heaven and by some crazy instance I am allowed to visit from the pits of hell, I'll hold her unborn baby for her because I am devoted to her even in death. I rush to the sound. Dodging trees, jumping over the wreckage of a bike on fire, passing Bronson on his knees, straddling a biker, sliding his blade upwards into the fucker's mandible. Abruptly, I see them. A burning branch lays over Max's leg, pinning him to the dirt. Flames flick around his body. Across from him, Dustin approaches with a knife raised, and... Fawn! She jumps on his back, grappling her father, one arm around his neck while the other slaps hysterically at his face. My bratty queen. Dustin bucks around, but the knife. Fuck! I get there just as he attempts to stab her, carelessly slashing, trying to leave her with holes in her shoulders and neck. I see red. Growling, I catch his arm, giving her relief to release her grip. Dropping to her feet, she rushes to Max. Xander has found him, and together they manage to heave the scorched trunk from his thigh. Max rises to his full height. In one quick succession, I snap Dustin's arm at the elbow, the limp ulna and radius bone hanging pendulously. He howls in pain. Max is upon him instantly, kicking Dustin's kneecap in, crumbling his leg, making him a wailing pile of backward-facing bones. No, little bikers, left in the row. Bronson emerges through the smoke, streams of bloody carnage sliding down his face and forearms, a knife in each fist held out wide. Hello, beautiful brothers. He stops by Xander, and the national park is suddenly swept in eerie stillness, only interrupted by Dustin's cries and groans, as though the entire forest has quietened down for our revenge. My brothers let their demons out tonight, let them free to roam the national park until they must be reined in again. For my brothers' women and children, for their sense of peace, for each other. Carter and our men are close now too, watching from a distance as large, unharmed, mist-covered figures. I reach for my little deer, pull her in, and cup her cheeks, staring into her uncertain, dual-colored gaze. Are you hurt? I don't wait for an answer, examining the ash-iced skin at her neck and shoulders. Small cuts mar her flesh from the tip of his knife, rocks, twigs. It doesn't matter what. I clench my teeth. Dirt, dust, and soot cover her face and clothes, and I need to get her home. I need to care for her. You put yourself in danger, I say tightly, finding her blue and green gaze. I should bend you over my knee, little dear, expose your ass and pussy and spank you until the thought of leaving me. I choke on that admission. Damn it. Correcting myself, I say, of defying me will make you tremble. She touches the bristles on my unkempt jawline, her lips tight and her eyes soft as she reads me. My sentiments play out on the surface despite my attempts to conceal them.
I will always choose you, sir,
she says breathlessly, and my chest fucking throbs with affection for her. Her eyes widening, they slide past my shoulder.
Clay?
Turning to follow her gaze, I see Max stalking Dustin as he tries to scoot backwards on broken limbs. Max's large, muscular frame creeps over the fucker's crippled body. Stop! I'll leave, he begs. I'll leave the city! Cross! He calls out to the president of the Stockyard MC, otherwise known as Brock Riley, and is greeted with silence. Cross! Gone! Bronson states smoothly, wiping a stream of red from his lip with the back of his hand. You're alone, Dustin, Xander confirms. Can't you feel the butchers all around you? Fawn! Don't let them kill your daddy! Don't say her name! I hiss, nodding at Max, who kicks Dustin's jaw shut. The sound of snapping teeth echoes. The knock sends him into an almost unconscious state. Pity. Dustin's head lulls along the dirt, his eyes rolling around like marbles within his skull. We may have taken him back with us once, drawn out the revenge. Not today. The bushfire will end this. The body's charcoal soon. I hear my sweet girl's breath hitch faster. This is not for Fawn to see. I pull her face into my chest, protecting her from the murderous scene. She can be my queen without witnessing her own flesh and blood die. That action doesn't rip away her strength, nor undermine her bravery. It allows her humanity. He's yours, I say to Max. Finish him. Bronson and Xander look on from my side, and Max glares down at Dustin as the rarest of smiles creeps across his face. Time becomes longer, stretching, as he hovers over him. The glow of the fire sets the backdrop. The grey smoke circles Max like the phantom of each betrayal, readying itself to reap the consequences. For the kidnapping of Connor, the attack on Cassidy, for being undeserving of his daughter. Silence him, Max, I order, not wanting to lead Fawn from my clutches to the safety of the car, but not wanting her to hear his howls of pain either. Max squats slowly, hovering over Dustin, a shadow cast over the crippled body of his enemy. He reaches down and tears a piece of Dustin's shirt, removing a strip of soiled fabric. Dustin comes to with a hazy groan as Max shoves the ash-covered material into his mouth, muffling the guttural sounds that rumble out. Dustin begins to choke, the smoke and soot filling his pulsing throat, provoking it to contract and fight for air. I don't like his eyes, I say in Sicilian, holding the trembling body of my sweet girl, only further driven by her sorrow, further angered by his effect on her. Max's smile widens. Dustin gapes as the shiny blade approaches the first glistening orb, his black pupil darting to follow the skew just as it connects. Sliding in with ease, the blade spears the brown eyeball straight through the center. A few twists later, and Max has the first orb impaled and plucked from Dustin's skull. He flicks the wet ball to the dirt, where it lies on its side, sizzling in the charred dirt, wide and watching as Dustin vomits around the cloth. Muffled rasping sounds curdle within his clogged mouth and throat. His body shakes with horror. Max leans in for the second one, slowly lowering the blade closer and closer until the tip dips into the fluid coating Dustin's last eye, the last one that looks like Fawn's. He plunges in slowly, a fraction at a time. Then he slams the knife down until only the handle can be seen bobbing and swaying with the eye it has impaled. My brother is not a man of words, but he still hisses by Dustin's ear. No eyes. You must really feel the butchers all around you now. And a butcher is the last thing you will ever feel.
Chapter 25. Fawn. The webbing of trees makes a near-black tunnel that envelops the car as Clay drives us from the campsite, from the dead bodies, ash and debris, from the executions. Everything happened so fast, as though I had only just whispered, "Hello," to my dad moments ago, then someone hit fast forward, a blur of events flashing behind my eyes in an instant. The vision of Max taking a bullet for me, of Clay dragging me beneath him, of bullets flying, of people dying, of flames and smoke and ash, and then it stops, and I am dropped into this seat. In this gliding car, where everything is still, the glass blocks the smoke, the tires roll gently on the windy road, and the man beside me is as cold as stone. But my heart is still on fast forward, still mirroring the events that have somehow ended just as they began. I look down at my body, belt on. When did that happen? When did I get in the car? In this suspended space between the first hello and the last death, I sit, experiencing my body as though it's been detached. I feel the adrenaline. Feel my heart jumping into my mouth, feel everything inside me moving at a million miles an hour while nothing but the car moves. My body is still back there. Hands shake. Legs tight with fatigue, skin hot and sweaty. A growl that should seem otherworldly, but in this tunnel of fire only fits the ominous scene, screams past our car. I barely flinch. More bikes join the thunder. Riding them, Clay's men and the Butcher Brothers break away from us. The three motorbikes howl up the narrow ride like bats out of hell. The only light comes from the eyes of each headlight. They vanish into the fog's thick depths. The car is still and silent again. I look down at my curled fingers, still clutching at nothing, at everything, at his shirt, at reality, the past and the present, as they vibrate violently. "Make them stop curling," I whisper, staring at my hands. "They won't stop." The car slows down. Clay reaches over the seat, unbuckles me, and hauls me across the console to kneel either side of his body. My hands look strange.
"We need to get away from the campsite, sweet girl. Listen to me."
He cups my cheeks with firm authority, forcing me to look at him and focus on his intent blue gaze. His actions offer me a sense of affection, while the hollow depth within his stare forces chills up my spine. He's the boss right now, not Sir or Clay.
"This is the adrenaline,"
he continues methodically.
"All you need to do is breathe. That is all your body needs. Can you do that for me, little dear?"
I nod, with his hands cradling my face. "Yes."
"Good girl."
He grips my waist, slides me to my seat, and buckles me in before setting off down the road again. Then a hole of normality appears ahead, a break in the forest tunnel, the twinkling of city lights, the end of it. The smoke holds us to the scene a moment longer, drawing it out with a large demonic reach until we break through. The grey clouds separating over the bonnet, ripping us from the forest's grasping fingers. The clear air circles us, and we're out. And I don't know how to feel. Chapter 26. Fawn. "Just breathe." He has my eyes. Rather, I have his. "Just breathe." Breathing, definitely breathing, I stare out the tinted window of the Chrysler. The national park, the bodies, the fast-forwarded world, a distant orange landscape in the rearview mirror. But Dustin Nerick's eyes came into the clear with me, reflect at me in the glass. My dad's eyes. I can't ignore that the man killed tonight shared my blood, not with those eyes. Entirely a different colour to my blue and green, but the position, the shape. I can't pretend he was merely a stranger. I want to care more about him. Guilt bleeds through my clearing confusion. Guilt that I'm not grieving him. Guilt that I want to. Guilt that I defied Clay. And guilt that I do it again. As Clay navigates the streets of Connolly, his icy mien has not wavered or relented. Is he rolling the word betrayal over in his mind? From me, from Max, even from Xander. "Sir?" I think I say aloud. But maybe I didn't. A silence is his answer. Loud breath shudders from me. We drive between the white gates to the estate, and the vision of a pregnant blonde girl standing at the intercom only months earlier comes to me unbidden. She worries her bottom lip, twists her hair around her finger, and imagines what that man might look like. Now she knows. I wish I cared more. I gaze down at the black ash and soot stains covering my jeans, experiencing my body normally. My limbs and heart move at the same time as the outside world. I'm grounded in the present, but it's bleak. Frowning, I poke the tip of my finger through a small hole in the fabric. The rocks and twigs must have made it when I was dragged beneath clay. Sadness is circling relief, and exhaustion is just so overwhelming they both seem muted. But for the guilt. The mansion comes into view, lit up by rows of external wall lights. I blink at the figure at the top of the steps. Aurora waits for us with an entourage of soldiers and maids. When I step from the car, she sighs her relief so hard that even from the foot of the steps I can see her chest fall. Madonna mia. She rushes to me. Her long arms pull me in and I wrap mine around her. I think she is my family. For reasons I can't explain, tears that are not for Dustin or me, not for anyone, fall softly against her shoulder. Tears of leaking exhaustion, of the word betrayal, of guilt, of the still that I am not ready to join. She strokes my hair down my head. It is over now. Clay's presence behind me sends heat through my spine, and I lift my head to gaze at the lovely, dark, liquor-coloured eyes of his wife. I met my father, I say to her and to myself, reaching for that grief, a moment of mourning him, like I should. Shouldn't I? I know. She nods at something in the distance. Look at the size of your moon, sweet fawn. It's so close tonight. My lip twitches with a smile, but one doesn't quite form. She told me that she never looks at the moon. Gazing at the large glowing orb, I inhale the air, inhale the grass, the scent of flowers, inhale the still. I exhale the fire. Rushes of light play along the plane of the moon tonight when my back meets Clay's torso. I press further into the hard, formidable wall of his body. The lingering smell of smoke and charred wood doesn't mask the masculine scent that is all his own. He still smells like him, even if his armor is blocking out his heart tonight. It's still him. Sadness and exhaustion deflate me as I realize it is over. The night is over. The fight, the revenge, and I fall further into him as my legs lose a little strength. He stoops to scoop me up, and I sigh against him, feeling that fatigue hood my eyes. My arms flop around his neck, my lashes slowly batting in front of the moon. Aurora touches Clay's cheek. Is everyone safe? Xander? Bronson? Max? Cassidy called a few minutes ago. They arrived home safely, but he's hurt. Your father left to check on him. Was he burnt and shot? Is it serious?
He still managed to trek back to his car,
he says, contempt tightly coiled around each word.
I will call Cassidy after Fawn is in bed.
Is Clay still angry with Max? He took a bullet for me. Her hand slides from his cheek. Clay, I will call Cassidy and check in. You need to rest. You're no good to anyone if you don't. And I worry.
What a waste of your time,
he says to her, his tone cold, closed off.
And that is simply not possible. The men need to be debriefed. A cleaning crew needs to remove evidence and stage an accident.
I am more than capable of contacting our cleaner and having him troll the campsite. He knows what to do. I need just approve it, she insists. Let Aurora do it, sir. Please, stay with me. He hums. His gaze falls to my face briefly, the corner of his mouth twitching.
Very well,
he accepts tightly, and his detached, guarded timbre stirs me. He strides away, and Aurora heads down the steps to meet the convoy of cars that are now arriving. Distant conversations relay events, and I watch from over Clay's shoulder as Aurora stands in her element, and the men, they nod respectfully for her. Clay carries me through the house, and although I can walk, I'm exhausted enough to appreciate it. I blink up at Clay. "Are you angry with Max, sir?" I ask him as we approach our bedroom. "It was my idea."
"Not now, sweet girl."
"Max took a bullet for me."
"That changes nothing,"
he spits out before schooling himself again.
"I would take a bullet for his fucking dog, but I would never undermine his decisions relating to Cassidy. I would never take her."
"You undermined his concerns when it came to Xander, though, sir." Fuck, I actually said that. I swallow over the lump forming around those words, wishing them back down as the powerful muscles holding me bunch. I don't push him further. Not right now. In the bathroom, Clay runs the shower. The seclusion of this space, the soft splashing sound, and the strange stillness after such intensity make pinpricks hit the back of my eyes. Alone now. Weak. Suddenly so weak, I barely want to stand, weighed down by the sorrow of all those lives, the horror, the heat, and how quickly I picked Clay and his family over my own blood. It all splinters me, creates thin cracks in my soul. And I picked Clay, even as Dustin's eyes blinked in a kindred way to mine, shifted the same. I roll the events in my mind, list and sort them. The night I met my dad, he was murdered. That happened, and I stood by. But it wasn't a murder. A murder is vile, uncalled for. This was revenge. This was an execution. Thinking about my dad's eyes, I barely notice when Clay removes our clothes. Stepping from my knickers absently, I wonder whether Dustin had the same ears as me too, or the same mannerisms. In the shower, the warm spray falls around my shoulders while Clay stands outside of its warmth, allowing me all its attention. He lifts me and sets me on the ledge. Our eyes are level. And he starts to wash the ash and dirt from my shoulders and across my chest. I think I lose focus, staring through the stacks of muscles at his chest and the coils down his forearms, staring at the tattoos he refused to explain the last time I asked him, at the large scar that etches from his shoulder to the dip of his neck, the one he hides with a vine. How many more does he have after tonight? How many do they all have? Suddenly, he lifts my hand and places it over the scar, having obviously noticed my distant gaze. My eyes jump up to meet the intense blue glowing in his.
"You asked me once what this was. Would you like to know, sweet girl? Would you like to know the kind of man I really am?"
"I know what kind of man you are, sir. A dangerous man." I simply nod, my lips thin, my heart shuddering to scream, "I don't care. I accept you." "Yes." He uses his big hands to caress soap from my fingers over his collarbone down the length of my arm.
"No one quite understands, sweet girl, that just like you believed in the moon, I believed in the Cosa Nostra. It is, was, my entire life. It was what I was born to do. Me, the heir. I had pride in that. I accepted long ago that this was my future. Just this. I wanted it, was seduced by it, And when you don't have a choice, your decisions become remarkably clear. Life becomes black and white.
He continues to wash me as he speaks.
When I was your age, I was just out of boarding school. And for the first time in my entire adolescence, I was staying in the family home. As part of my initiation, I was ordered to kill a girl. Jimmy and your father told me it was an honor of mine to finish this job for my family. They were proud when I accepted. I had presumed, as I always did, that by family, they meant my father and my brothers and the Cosa Nostra.
His brows draw in.
She was the daughter of a man who knew too much. So she knew too much. That is all they told me, and that was enough for me then. I didn't question it. I accepted their words and orders. Your father went with me that day. She was young, 9 or so. And I put a pillow over her head, and I held it down.
He pauses, and my throat tightens.
And I killed her. For them, that is the man I am.
Tears stream down my cheeks, meeting the water from the showerhead as they slide together down my trembling lips. He presses his hand over mine, applying pressure to the scar, holding it, protecting it, as if we can heal it together. His eyes level on me with an intensity and honesty I have never seen in him before. Not like this.
She fought back, little dear.
He almost smiles.
She sliced me with some kind of ornament she had hidden under her pillow and left me with this scar to remember her by. I should have asked questions. I should have spoken up. I never did.
An ache moves through my chest for him, not her. What kind of person does that make me? It's the truth in his blue eyes, the gravelly aftershock to his timbre that hurts my heart. A heart only whole and healed, trusting and strong because he loves it. I can't see this man as bad when he is my number one good thing. So, I accept he's the villain in that girl's story, but he'll never be the villain in mine. You are following orders.
You cannot make excuses for this, little dear.
He grounds, wanting my disdain, my shock and horror.
I was exactly your age when I blindly followed that order. I was not a child. Why do you think I told you this? Why now?
I don't know.
You defied me tonight.
I didn't want...
You left. You made your own decisions. You knew what the plan was. You heard what I said, heard my orders, and you put yourself in danger. Why?
Because of Xander.
Yes, but I told everyone that I was taking care of it. Try again.
He challenges.
Say the words.
I breathe out hard, pushing the truth through my lips. I thought you were making a mistake, sir.
Good girl.
He praises.
You did.
He nods slowly as his face tightens in regret.
But little dear, you also decided that I wasn't reasonable enough to listen to your concerns. You didn't even try to convince me. You just left me. Tell me the truth now.
My lips won't stop vibrating as I admit, yes, I didn't think you would listen to me. I thought you'd lock me away. A deep sigh leaves him, and he curses before saying,
Christ, I failed you.
I shake my head. No, it's not...
Yes.
He cups my cheeks and presses his lips to mine, talking against the water and tears glazing them.
You didn't come to me.
His voice sounds strange, strained, as though he is fighting a battle in his throat.
I don't want you to feel as though you must take orders from me blindly. Damn it, Vaughn. Question me.
He kisses me and presses his forehead to mine, rolling it hard as he says,
Use your voice, sweet girl, and I will listen to your concerns. I will listen to you, Vaughn. Every damn word that comes out of your pretty mouth, I will listen. But I swear to God, if you ever leave me like that again, without at least giving me a goddamn chance to...
I won't. I grip the back of his neck. His shoulders are large ridges coiled with taut muscles, and I pull his mouth to mine again. Our kiss is tight, a wince of emotion thinning both of our mouths. I'm sorry, I say against his lips. I'm so, so sorry.
Swear it to me, sweet girl.
I will never leave you again. One of his hands slides back and fists my hair, using his grip to curve my neck so he can drag his lips down the column. I swallow over a lump of nerves, and he ardently licks along the rolling of my throat. As his fingers twist in my blonde strands, my hair bites at the scalp. I whimper, feeling his darkness fill the room. His breathing gets heavy and fierce, and his teeth now scrape along my skin.
I will kill the next person who tries to take you from me.
He spreads my thighs and tugs me to the edge of the ledge, swiping two fingers through my slit before forcing me to take his cock in one brutal movement. A yelp falls from me, impaled beautifully in a gasp. He growls, and I dig my nails into the muscle cording his neck and shoulders. Then he starts to fuck me, powered by the confusion, the vulnerability, the confessions, and the honesty.
I would have locked you up.
He admits darkly, gripping my ass and thigh with one hand and using my pelvis to meet his hard drives.
I would have thrown away the damn key. You're right. I wouldn't have seen reason. I wouldn't have taken a chance, not with your life.
Deep grunts fall from him with each punch of his hips.
Not with you. Never you.
His lips slide up to my mouth and I gasp into them. He fucks my mouth with his tongue as he ruthlessly thrusts into me, fucking the truth from himself, the hatred, blame, stoicism, and control. Breaking off from our bruising kiss, he smothers my small body to his formidable packed muscles, my head to his chest, held there by his fingers wrapped around my wet blonde strands. His hips never relent, battering me hard, rutting into me without caution. My arms envelop his waist. I hold on as his powerful muscles roll and tighten beneath my clutching hands.
I worship you, Vaughn. I fucking worship you, and I won't always be reasonable. But give me the damn chance to be. I'll learn. Give me the damn chance.
He batters the end of me. I cry out as he opens up to me with his words and his hard inward thrusts that have me accepting him and then missing him so quickly one sensation overlaps with the other. I can't keep up. Holding on, he groans, his cock thickening inside me.
You'll have to stop me one day. You'll have to make me see reason when I'm about to tear the world through the middle for you. If you leave me, I'll do it. I will bleed the streets, kill them all. Nothing could hurt me more than existing without you.
The ecstasy of being full of him, of his words, of his raw lovemaking that is a trembling and desperate chase to a climax, fills my chest. Vulnerable, utterly open. He clings to my body, hand in my hair, fearful of any distance. He doesn't just love me. I'm his everything, like he is mine. Tears continue to stream down my face as we break through mountains and crumbling walls, as we strip off his cool facade that was no choice of his to create, armor that protected him from questioning the evil around him, a veil that separated him from the innocent girl that affects him still. He fucks it all out. His pristine mannerisms, his unreadable affections, all the real fear, pain and regret shine from him, and it is beautiful and chaotic and devastating. And he gifts it all to me as he builds towards his orgasm in such a way that makes me feel like his home, his safe space, my body, his sanctuary, a place of redemption, my dangerous man, my Clay Butcher, my number one. Chapter 27. Fawn. Freshly washed, fucked, and clinging to the seams of consciousness, we sit on the sofa in our master suite. Inside here, we are alone to be us. Even as the city through the window is a vast landscape of flickering lights and dashing orange lines that beckon him, want a piece of him. But not tonight. I straddle his lap, my bare body on his, as I hold an ice pack to the bruising starting to colour the shade of his cheekbone. He was struck during the fight at the campsite. I didn't see it happen. But otherwise, we are both nearly unscathed. It's a miracle, really. Magic, maybe. No one was going to take away my number one good thing. He enjoys a cigar while I tend to him. Wolf or lion, the king of this damn district jungle, a wound is a wound, and it has no mistress. He leans back in a powerful pose, one arm hanging over the top of the sofa, the other by his side, fingers playing with the ends of my hair. Sort of like I do. The cigar balances between his lips as he draws in and out, stoking the glowing ember to flare and then darken. His clear, blue gaze watches me quietly. It's as intimate a moment as any other. The image of my father's eyes and the creases between his eyebrows tumble into my mind. I inhale hard. I don't want to think about him. He didn't really look like me. Not really. But his eyes.
Yes, sweet girl. You may feel however you need about tonight. I will not stop you. If you want to grieve that man.
I don't. I shake my head. I don't want to grieve him. I want to forget him. I want to forget that I have his eyes. He gazes at me for a moment, a frown tightening his forehead.
You know, my brothers hold resentment towards my mother. The fact she favors me is not a secret. The other reasons, I wasn't around to know or understand. But I have her features. I'm the only one with her bone structure, cheekbones, sharper than my brother's. I've always wondered whether the likeness bothered them.
I take him in. I think you look like Luca.
I do, but I also look like her. Take your time with this. You don't need to decide how you feel.
His eyes are hooded in the dim light of the room.
Just let it happen, sweet girl.
It's so raw right now, though.
Would you like me to make you forget?
A flush of heat paints my skin in a pink hue as his eyes drink me in, roaming my body in an intense way that presses in on me, presses down on me, forcing his intent. Yes. I open my mouth to breathe, trying to concentrate on his bruised cheekbone, on the ice that is melting from the pack, when his hand leaves my hair and slides around my naked waist. Following the curve of my backside down to my ass, he circles the rim between my cheeks. I pucker against him, wanting the experience of being full.